No, no, money is not our god here at Chicago's Sound Experiment. WNUR FM at 89.3 FM, Evanston and Chicago. This is Media Geek, and that was Killing Joke. I'm playing that because I went to see these old bastards Tuesday night, unfortunately at the House of Blues, because it's the only venue they're playing. But a great old band with incredibly still trenchant political themes. Progenitors and originators of industrial music and bringing metal and punk together into a nice little union. And the lead singer of Killing Joke, Jazz Coleman, on the show, sent a big shout out to Chicago, giving, I would say, somewhat sarcastic hosannas to Milton Friedman, of course, from the University of Chicago. And I just thought I'd play a little bit of that, and the theme seems about right here on non-commercial radio, where money cannot be our god. And so we're talking about Chicago Media Action, and on the phone right now is Scott Sanders from Chicago Media Action, and you're in Evanston right now, correct?
I am live in Evanston, and thank you very much, Paul, for having us on the show, both Mitchell and myself.
My pleasure, of course.
Good job.
Thank you for being here. So you're tackling, and Chicago Media Action is tackling, along with many Evanston residents, a telecommunications issue that is really hitting home and hitting the sidewalks and hitting the streets here. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more.
Yes, this is an issue that maybe even some conservative people in some suburbs might get really upset about. What's going on is that slowly but surely, people all over the state of Illinois are discovering these giant refrigerator-sized boxes on their front lawns, courtesy of AT&T. Now, this meeting here tonight was set up specifically to give the residents of Evanston a chance, finally, to give feedback into this cable competition issue. And they had a meeting similar to this with AT&T representatives and some Evanston City employees a couple weeks back. This time in the hot seat were we had the two representatives, Ms. Hamos, the state representative from the which district is that now? Julie Hamos. Well, I don't have the district numbers right in front of me. And Jeff Schoenberg was also here, who's this Illinois state senator. And these are the same people that passed this state franchise law last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now belatedly being held responsible. See, people weren't really told very much about this when it went through. And when you all just wake up and discover this refrigerator box on your front lawn and that you call the city and they say, sorry, we can't do anything about it.
Right.
Then you've motivated a new segment of media activists. And so that's where we were tonight. And in fact, I have one of the local organizers standing right here with me. And if you'd like at some point, I'd like to give the phone to her to sort of give her some side of things. Her name is Mary Beth Kistner Griffin, and she's with a group that's called Stop the Box. And that's how they've been promoting this. Of course, their issues go well beyond the box, but these refrigerator things in the front yard, that's a real attractive issue to as an entry point into this media issue.
Yeah, why don't you put Mary Beth on? That would be great.
Okay, yeah, she's right here. Here she is.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, Mary Beth. I'm here at WNUR. The show is Media Geek. Thanks for joining me here to tell people a little bit more about the big, ugly boxes of the VRADs.
Well, thank you very much for hearing our cause, because
as most citizens, I did not know anything about this until one appeared directly across the street from me. And that's the story throughout the room. Everyone who discovers it first discovers it as it goes in. We were supposed to be notified by AT&T with a hanger on our doorknob, and many of us were not. So that's how I came into this. I began to talk to my neighbors, and then I met with Julie Hamos and AT&T, and it was an unsatisfactory meeting. So then I met with 20 neighbors in a living room, and then that turned into a meeting with the city, and then of about 100 people, and then that turned into another meeting with about 100 people with AT&T, leading us to our meeting tonight with our state representatives. What we know is that legislation was passed that gave AT&T a video franchise in the state of Illinois that bypasses all municipalities' home rule. Therefore, your city's zoning laws can't be enforced while AT&T is willy-nilly putting these on parkways where they want. It also, they have 45 days, the city has 45 days to issue all permits required to AT&T, and in the case of Evanston, that was 99 permits. So it was all the city could do to get those permits out and go do a site visit with AT&T in each location and do the best they could. So ultimately, our city was working for AT&T instead of our interests.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we're trying to do is change that legislation or amend that legislation. We're going to work with our state representatives, Beth Colson, Julie Hamos, Jeff Schoenberg, and we need to form a strong coalition to back them up so that they can go back to the Senate and the House of Representatives and re-examine this. Unfortunately, the bill passed unanimously under the guise mm-hmm. of competition for Comcast. And none of us are arguing with that. We want competition. Competition is a good thing. But the details of the bill are what is eating us all up. These boxes are approximately 4 feet high. They're about 4 feet long and 2 feet wide. And there's an additional box to that.
That's more like a walk-in freezer.
It really is. It's enormous. I mean, when I saw it, I thought, well, this isn't permanent. They're not. I mean, when you first see it, you think, oh, they're not going to leave that there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize they are going to leave that there. And in some cases, they put another one right beside it.
And for some people, this is like right in front of their house.
Well, there was a gentleman there tonight with an infant child and about a six-year-old little girl. He has one of these 5 feet from the back of his house. With his windows closed, he can hear the air conditioning unit enters his home. And it's outside his window, so he has to look at it. He has an infant sleeping there. It's insanity.
And ostensibly, what are these boxes doing?
AT&T is offering us cable, internet, and telephone through the telephone line.
Mm-hmm.
They are using an old technology to come through copper wiring versus a newer technology that comes through fiber optic like Comcast or Verizon. In the case of Comcast and Verizon, they can go underground or overhead. AT&T has to be within 300 feet of these other existing boxes that they have, and then they have to run the wire into the giant box, and then the giant box somehow runs to 300 homes.
Uh-huh.
And it's very old technology. AT&T actually sat there and said, we had other choices. We chose this because it was more cost efficient. It was cheaper.
Yes.
They said that to us. And they're not serving the community. They're only serving AT&T. And the citizens have absolutely no input. So the big overarching thing of this is I'm reaching out. We must form coalitions, large coalitions of people, to then work with our state representatives to go back to our state Senate and House of Representatives and say, this isn't working for us. And I realize perhaps in southern Illinois, where if it goes in on a farm or out in a rural area or even on a five-acre lot, no one's going to see the box. Evanston is unique. We're very dense, so we see every one of these boxes.
You know what, though, Mary Beth? I mean, before I moved up here, I was living down in Champaign, Urbana. And I know that if they roll these out into Urbana, they'll hear about it.
Well,
it's a lot like Evanston, and I think it would be true for a lot of cities, whether it be Decatur or Springfield
That's
or Peoria.
That's what we're counting on. Unless all of the citizens step forward and back up these representatives, we have no power. It's going to take, I think she said, 60 votes in the Senate and 30 in the House to change this law.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless we have a majority of support of the citizens in the state of Illinois, we're marginalized. We're nobody. So I'm reaching out to your audience, anyone. And if you don't know about this, start asking questions, because you're going to wake up one morning and one of these giant refrigerator freezer boxes is going to be parked in front of your house. So start asking questions. And to join us, you need to go to our website. We're just an ad hoc citizens group called Stop the Box. But our website is actact.stopthebox.org. And you can find out all the information that we know and people to contact so you can attend our meetings. And we want to attend your meetings. We're going to be meeting with Jeff Schoenberg and Julie Hamos, our committee, to find out specific groups that we need to go to. We need to go to CUB. We need to go to the Northwest Municipality. We need to go to the mayor's office in Chicago, where 3,000 boxes are going to go up in Chicago. 3,000 boxes are going to go up in Chicago. So we need to be meeting preemptively so that we can stop this, and go change the legislation. The 55 boxes we have in Evanston now, if we can get them removed, it will be 6 years from now.
Right, so you've got 40 and 44 on the way. Isn't that correct?
And we're hoping to stop those.
Wow.
We're trying to get a moratorium. Fortunately, the weather is on our side. During winter months, they don't install things.
Never thought the Chicago winter would be in our favor, right?
Exactly. And our city has been terrific. They've really worked as hard as they can. The city of Evanston cannot afford a lawsuit with AT&T. Mm-hmm. If they in any way impair AT&T's ability to put these boxes in, AT&T is going to sue us. So the goal tonight also is to get some support from our state representatives behind our city workers to begin to question these things, to begin to slow this process down, to stop until we can reevaluate. So we need support. We need people. We need people to go to Stop the Box, call us, meet with us. We need to band together, lead our constitutional rights, take our power.
Well, you know, it's interesting what motivates folks or gets people woken up. And I think regardless of what it happens to be, it's always a cold bucket of water over the head when you realize that all of this happened, you know, pretty much while we were sleeping.
Exactly.
And then you realize that even the municipality, which can otherwise, you know, often legislate how high your grass can be, can't stop, you know, refrigerators being installed in front of your house.
They could not do a darn thing. Their hands were tied. They were as frustrated as we were. And we were paying them. The salaries they receive from our tax dollars, we're paying them to run around and work for AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay.
It's quite a coup. Well, Mary Beth, thank you so much for letting us know and for getting your neighbors together here. And once again, your website is?
actact.stopthebox.org.
All right. If you could hand me over to Scott, that would be great.
Thank you so much for this. You're helping us so much.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And,
okay.
Hey, Scott. So, I mean, the interesting thing here to me, you know, so you're a bit more of a veteran media policy watcher, is how what people didn't realize in this so-called bill about competition in cable television is that the real subtext of these bills, and these have been passed in states across the country,
mm-hmm.
Places like Texas, places like Pennsylvania, Illinois is actually kind of late in the game,
mm-hmm.
and actually Illinois is one of the better laws, all
yeah,
things
the best
considered.
Of the bad.
But it is that people didn't realize that it was also this massive delocalization. It was a massive move to disempower municipalities with regard to the implementation of franchises. And I know what AT&T was crying. They were crying to Congress. They're crying to the state legislatures, is saying, oh, well, we have to go from city to city, from Skokie to Evanston to Springfield.
Yes, they had a box of Kleenex for all that crying.
Oh, all that crying. Oh, or Carbondale and all around in order to get a franchise to be able to use the public right of way, right? This land, you know, mm-hmm. along the streets and such in order to roll out these new services. And they said, oh, but it's so hard in each municipality. But part of that process was implemented to begin with by the Federal Communications Commission.
That's
in
right.
order that the local cable companies would be responsible to and have to speak to the local communities, whether it's the establishment of local service programming, of public access programming, of government programming,
Also and we could get into that aspect too.
Also, and I think what no one really thought about, and certainly I didn't, and I read the legislation, I never thought about the fact that it could result in allowing AT&T to cheap out and install these large refrigerator devices all over the city without the city even being able to say yes or no to it.
Local control was lost.
Absolutely. All in the name, supposedly, of competition, but the ironic thing is that that the competition was not really because any municipality was saying it wouldn't grant a franchise to another cable company.
Record of any city saying, no, we don't want a competitor. They were all inviting companies like AT&T to come in and talk with them on a level playing field. And compete honestly.
Yes, indeed. There's been two cable companies in Chicago for quite some time.
Oh, certainly. And in Skokie, there's been two cable companies for a long time. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, as once you get beneath the surface of that, quote, competition, unquote, however, you discover that the rates are virtually identical.
Mm-hmm. Funny how that happens, isn't it?
It's a duopoly, they call it, a duopoly.
Well, indeed, exactly. And so, and the other big battleground then that's been with regard to the to this nationwide move, this assault that AT&T primarily, but also Verizon joining with them, has made on local control of cable franchises has been a massive assault on public access programming and
exactly.
on government programming.
I actually have a study that was put out. You probably have seen this, I think, put out by the National Association of Telecommunications Officers and Advisors about the state franchising. They did some surveying of the they actually studied 14 states that have these state franchise laws. Mm-hmm. And the effects that they have on the service to the customer and the so-called competition and the PEG access. It's a very revealing study. I just have a couple of things circled here that really stand out.
Please.
One thing is that the study comes to the conclusion, quote, there is no indication that incumbent pricing fell as a result of new entrant activity. That just about says it all. It goes on, though. It says, survey results indicate that after passage of state legislation, rates charged by incumbent cable operators increased $1.12 on analog services and by $1.51 on the digital services. In fact, there not only is no competition, but they both somehow or other, agree to raise their prices together.
Well, wink, wink, nudge,
nudge. AT&T comes in and actually often costs more for equivalent services.
It's an interesting set of circumstances. And this survey is by, you know, the folks at the municipalities, I mean, putting this together.
That's correct. And so you would think these people under these government payrolls would come out, maybe a little bit more hedging, a little bit more due to the utilities. But this is a very straightforward study, and it gets worse, Paul. The findings of the study on PEG access, you know, I'm sure a number of your listeners are familiar with the basic things that AT&T likes to do to PEG channels. It takes them, puts them on channel 99, reduces the resolution,
right,
takes away the second audio program, takes away closed captioning capabilities.
And this is what happens when they roll out these so-called improved digital channels, PEG, which is public, educational, and government channels, you know, in order to to basically save money and to free up channel space for channels that essentially make them more money, they scrunch them, you know? And like on the internet, when you sometimes you see videos that look kind of crappy, it's because they're low bandwidth. They're really compressing it to save on bandwidth. Well, they do the same thing over these over their digital television lines.
Oh, yeah. You can't even read the name of the politician that you may have voted for and what they're saying in the little caption anymore because it's now too blurry to read.
Well, sort of like, well, if you're going to make us do this, fine, I guess we'll do this. So the question I have for you is what can folks do and what is Chicago Media Action doing to try and deal with this? I know when we talked to Mary Beth there, she was talking about trying to work with state representatives both in the House and in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And yet is that one way you're going or what?
Well,
about, you know,
there are alternatives to that too.
Okay.
There's a number of things that people interested in this can do. And Mary Beth, certainly go to their website, get involved if you're listening in Evanston, especially if you're a resident here. This would be a good issue if you're concerned about the power that media corporations have and too often wield against the best interests of the public. But yes, build coalitions. Our elected representatives here tonight were talking about trying to do that. They warned us that this is not a hot issue yet with their fellows in
right.
Springfield, but that they need people to start raising a ruckus on these kind of issues locally in other communities so that their seatmates in Springfield can hear as well what they heard tonight. But in addition to that, now there may be some legislation that's good that can help a fix what was wrong, at least in parts. But the real solution to this issue is going to be federal legislation. And groups like Alliance for Community Media and others have been already working on various aspects. And one aspect, of course, is these more basic consumer issues with these boxes and with the loss of local control and local franchising that we had all become so used to with the arrival of cable. Proper comprehensive cable act should be in the works, hopefully, for next year.
Well, that's the kind of thing you really need to shoot for really close after an election, especially if it's
right.
a Democratic victory, because it's definitely will get no attention right now, but there's a bit of a lull sometimes after an election. But I guess an option that actually Andrew here mentioned to me and a question about is what about a boycott? What about people really getting motivated?
They announced a boycott at the last meeting.
Okay.
I could maybe get some more details on that, but from what I understood, there are already people who aren't paying their bills and who are not going to order the service who were considering AT&T now that they are finding out of the facts and how badly our representatives in Springfield were bamboozled by AT&T. They're working on all fronts, as they say. So all of these options for citizen action are open, and that is one of them.
I mean, the big problem is if you're looking to have cable, and there are a lot of good reasons to have cable television, and especially if you want broadband internet access, right? You mentioned the duopoly. It's like the lesser of two evils. On the one hand, you have AT&T who is cheaping out, plunking these block boxes all over cities without really any consideration of what people want of local citizen rights. On the other hand, you have the likes of Comcast, which is not a company I'm a big fan of, which blocks its traffic and is a similar kind of race to the bottom. It's hard to find, the third option.
I know where you're going, Paul. The option is the a public ownership of the wiring.
Or municipal broadband, which, or municipal wireless or other issues like
correct.
That.
Correct. And it comes up at each of these meetings. It's never going away.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be on that list of options. It's just, I think some people just view that as impossible. Mm-hmm. And people like me think that if you keep talking about something, it becomes not only possible but probable eventually if you get enough support.
Well, I think, if people keep thinking, connecting up, and I think this is it, it's amazing to me to see people find these conclusions, because it's not something, we're motivated to think about very much, and we certainly, you're not going to see it on the local television news. It's not going to show up on the front page of the Trib or the Sun Times. And if these issues show up, of course, they're page 12 of business. They're covered from an entirely different sort of angle. It's hard to even educate yourself about these and about these connections, and to think about, are there alternatives, and whether it's municipal or whether there are ways in which people can put together grassroots networks or cooperatives, which is something which there's a great history of in the United States. Rural telephone used to be a cooperative basis where, the folks in the community would get together to get telephone wired.
A little known fact is the village of Winnetka, the posh north suburban community north of Chicago, they own their own electric plant there. It's a municipal utility.
Right. Or like the Evanston Water Works.
And there are many other places
that
have utilities, these things that must go to everyone's house. Face it, for all the garbage that's on the cable, there also is a public safety element there.
Right. Absolutely.
There are certain requirements, and therefore the AT&T doesn't, and the cable companies don't like this, but they are utilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a whole other set issues.
As things that we're trying to explore here on Media Geek every week, as we try and knock these different things down, what I think is important for people to take away is to remember that, I am somebody who's not going to always say that that our solution always lies with legislation. Our solution always lies with government action. The process is harried. The process is difficult, and the process is often captured, regulatory capture, as Mitchell was sort of speaking about earlier, and how the FCC is largely a captured regulator. But at the same time, you think about it, if it was the city of Evanston, which we're putting these boxes and responsible for them, you would have some degree of local control, because at least you elected in the people in charge, whether it be the city council, whether it is the mayor, even while you might not have elected the particular people working on the ground, certainly you elected their bosses. And that would be power you would have that you don't have with AT&T.
These local issues are precisely the kind of things that people can organize around. And Evanston has a history of that. I used to live in Evanston in the 80s, and I helped organize cable issues way back then. This is sort of like a deja vu for me, in fact. But back then, we held the cable rates down to $4.50 a month, Paul. And one summer we had a $2 special. And that's all due to citizen involvement. And we even created something called the Evanston Community Media Center back then.
Wow.
As a response to the brutal treatment by the company back then. It was called Cablevision.
Okay, yep, yep.
They were really treating people badly in terms of their free speech rights and the public access and community programming element. So Evanston was a really bad idea for AT&T to come to, because there's a whole history of
they should have done their research, shouldn't they?
Well,
Scott,
we're
just about out of time, and we're going to have to talk about this Evanston history in a future show. I'm really interested in hearing more, because it's always, I think, a good motivation for people to think about, use that history to think about the future and things that might be done.
Sure.
So I really appreciate
you
giving us a call. I really appreciate you giving us a call tonight and telling us more about the Stop the Box campaign and Chicago Media Action, is, of course, chicagomediaaction.org. And Scott Sanders, thank you so much for joining us here on Media Geek.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You too, Paul.
And this brings to a close this edition of Media Geek. I'll be back in 1 week with more news and views on our media environment. In the meantime, check it out online at MediaGeek.net is home to the Media Geek blog, and Radio.MediaGeek.net is home to the radio show, where you can download it, listen to it online. or subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions about the program or any comments, send them to me, paul@mediageek.net. Thanks so much for tuning in. And this is WNUR-FM, Evanston, Chicago. Chicago Sound Experiment. Stay tuned for Street Beat.
All right. Let's get started. You may learn something.